Mrs. Watson is well, Doctor.
Yes, Kate sends her best. Well, it all seems quite unchanged, Mrs. Hudson. You don't change either. I hope the same can be said of Mr. Holmes. When will he be back?
I'm sure I couldn't say, Doctor.
When did you see him last?
I really couldn't tell you.
You couldn't tell me?
No, sir. There was a clergyman who looked in yesterday, and then there was an old bookmaker, and then a workman. But I'm not sure they weren't all Mr. Holmes. And I ought to know his ways by now. He's very hot on a case just now, and I'm frightened for his health. Oh, it's awful to see him. He gets paler and thinner, and he neither eats nor sleeps. Well, you've lived with him the same as me. You know what he's like when he's keen on a case.
Oh, I know.
He's a responsibility, sir, that he is. It's a real worry to me sometimes. When I asked him if he'd order dinner, he said, "Yes, I'll have chops and mashed potatoes at 7:30 the day after tomorrow." "Won't you eat before then, sir?" I asked. "I haven't time, Mrs. Hudson. I'm busy," said he.
"Well, this will never do. I must certainly stop and see him."
"It'd ease my mind if you would, Doctor."
"This is new. What's this curtain for?"
"Mr. Holmes had it put there 3 days ago. There's something funny behind it."
"Funny? Good heavens, a dummy."
"Just like him, isn't it, Doctor?"
"It's wonderful. It could be Holmes."
"He's anxious that those who watch him should think he's at home when he isn't. We put it at different angles so that it seems more lifelike. I wouldn't dare touch it if the blind wasn't down. But when it's up, you can see this from across the way."
"Goodness, it must be over 10 years since we last used something like this. Has something to do with this case he's on?"
"I don't mind telling you, Doctor, but it should go no further. It's this Crown Diamond business."
"The £100,000 burglary?"
"Yes, Doctor. Why, we had Mr. Balfour and Mr. Akers Douglas both sitting on that very sofa."
"Prime Minister and the Home Secretary weren't well."
"Mr. Holmes promised he'd do his very best for them. Very nice he was to them. Put them at their ease in a moment. And then there's Lord Cantlemere."
"Ah."
"Yes, Doctor. You know what that means. Oh, he's a stiff'un, sir, if I may say so. I can get along with the Prime Minister, and I've nothing against the Home Secretary, who seemed a civil, obliging sort of man. But I can't take to his lordship. Neither can Mr. Holmes, Doctor. You see, he doesn't believe in Mr. Holmes, and he was against employing him. He'd rather he failed."
"But Mr. Holmes knows it?"
"Mr. Holmes always knows whatever there is to know."
"Well, he won't fail. And Lord Cantlemere will be confounded, won't he?"
"Oh, there's the bell."
"Thank you, Mrs. Hudson." "Good grief, Holmes. What have you got yourself involved in this time? Diamonds? Dummies?" "Good evening, madam."
"You're not Mr. Holmes."
"No, I'm his friend, Dr. Watson."
"I knew you couldn't be Mr. Holmes. I'd always heard he was a handsome man. I must see him at once."
"I'm afraid he's not at home."
"I don't believe you."
"I beg your pardon?"
"You have a sly, deceitful face. Oh, yes, a wicked, scheming face. Come, young man, where is he?"
"Really, madam?"
"Very well, I'll find him myself. He's in there, I'll warrant."
"Madam, this is outrageous."
"What does he keep in this safe?
Not to worry, Watson. As you can see, the lights come back on all by themselves."
"Holmes. But what happened to..."
"A neat little alarm, isn't it, young man?"
"Really, Holmes?"
"My own invention. You tread on the loose plank and so connect the circuit. It prevents inquisitive people becoming too inquisitive. Well, Watson, it's good to see you in your old quarters once again. You come at a critical moment."
"Yes, so I gather. And why the disguise?
Oh, a little comic relief, Watson. When I saw you standing there looking so solemn, I really couldn't help myself. But I assure you, there is nothing comic in the business I'm engaged upon. I'm expecting something this evening.
Expecting what?
To be murdered.
You're joking, Holmes.
Even my limited sense of humour could evolve a better joke than that, Watson. But we may be comfortable in the meantime, may we not? The gasogene and cigars are in the old place. Let me see you once more in the customary armchair. You have not, I hope, learned to despise my pipe and my lamentable tobacco. It has to take the place of food these days.
Why, for heaven's sake?
Because the faculties become refined when you starve them. Surely, as a doctor, my dear Watson, you must admit that what your digestion gains in the way of blood supply is so much lost to the brain. I am a brain, Watson. The rest of me is a mere appendix. Therefore, it is the brain I must consider.
But what about this danger, Holmes? You say you're expecting to be murdered. Here you are.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's about a 2-to-1 chance that it should come off, so it would perhaps be as well that you should burden your memory with the name and address of the murderer. You can give it to Scotland Yard with my love and a parting blessing. Silvius is the name. Count Negretto Silvius. Write it down, man, write it down. 136 Moorside Gardens, NW. Got it?
Got it. Well, you can count me in, Holmes. I've nothing to do for a day or two.
Your morals don't improve, Watson. I see you've added the telling of untruths to your other vices.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You bear every sign of the busy medical man who calls on him every hour.
Not such important ones. But surely something can be done, Holmes. Couldn't you have this fellow arrested?
Yes, Watson, I could. That's what's worrying him, sir.
Then why don't you?
Because I don't know where the diamond
The Mazarin Stone, Mrs. Hudson told me.
That woman is a problem, Watson.
Holmes, that's not a very polite way of referring
How far am I justified in allowing her to be in danger?
Over this yellow-crowned diamond.
77 carats, Doctor, and without flaw. I've cast my net and I have 2 fish in it. And while we may make the world a better place by laying them by the heels, that's not what I'm out for. What's the use of taking them when it's the stone I'm after?
And this Count Silvius is one of the fish in the net?
He's a shark, Watson. He bites. The other is Sam Merton, the boxer. Not a bad fellow, Sam, but the Count has used him. Sam's not a shark. He's a big, silly gudgeon. But he's flipping about in my net all the same.
Where is this Count Silvius?
I've been at his elbow all day. You saw my old lady, Watson. I was never more convincing. Once he actually picked up my parasol. By your leave, madame, said he. Half Italian, you know, and with the southern graces of manner when in the mood. But a devil incarnate in the other mood. Life is full of whimsical happenings.
It might have been tragedy.
Well, perhaps it might. I followed him to old Straubenzee's workshop in the Minories. Straubenzee made him an air gun. A fine bit of work, I understand, and I rather fancy it's in the opposite window at the present moment. Have you seen the dummy?
I have. Very lifelike.
It may get a bullet through its beautiful wax head at any moment. The idea was to shoot me through the window.
This man sounds like another Colonel Sebastian Moran.
Indeed. They could be brothers. Come.
Oh, Mr. Holmes, it was you. Account Negretto Silvius is in the waiting room, sir.
The man himself.
I rather expected it. Show him up when I ring, Mrs. Hudson. If I'm not in the room, show him in just the same.
Very good, sir.
A man of nerve, the Count. Possibly you've heard of his reputation as a shooter of big game. It would indeed be a triumphant ending to his excellent sporting record if he added me to his bag. This is a proof that he feels my toe very close behind his heel.
Holmes, I insist you send for the police.
And so I shall. Kindly take this note from Inspector Strade. Sir, please do this glance out and see if anyone is hanging about in the street.
Yes, there's a rough fellow near the door.
That'll be Sam Merton, the faithful but fatuous Sam.
Look, Holmes, this is simply impossible. This Count Silvius sounds like a desperate man who sticks at nothing. He's come here tonight to murder you.
I shouldn't be in the least surprised.
I insist upon staying.
You'd be horribly in the way.
In his way?
No, my dear fellow, in mine.
I'm sorry, Holmes, I can't possibly leave you.
Yes, you can, Watson. And you will. For you have never failed to play the game, and I'm very sure that you'll play it to the end. This man has come for his own purpose, but he'll stay for mine.
Well, if you're certain.
Splendid. And before you return, I should have just enough time to find where the diamond is. No, leave by this door. We'll go together. I rather want to see my shark without his seeing me.
Count Negretto Silvius, Mr. Holmes. Mr. Holmes?
Oh, thank you, dear lady. That will be all.
If you're sure, sir.
No, quite sure.
Dear lady, indeed.
Well, Holmes? Holmes? Oh, sleeping on the job, Holmes. You've almost made it too easy. All it takes is one blow from my stick.
Don't break it, Count. Don't break it.
Sapristi!
It's such a pretty little thing, isn't it? Dr. Watson assures me that the likeness is quite remarkable. Tavernier, the French modeler, made it. He's as good at waxwork as Straubenzee is at air guns.
Air guns? What do you mean, sir?
Put your hat and stick on the side table, if you please. Thank you. Pray, take a seat. Would you care to put your revolver out also? Very well, if you prefer to sit upon it. Your visit is really most opportune, Count, for I wanted to have 5 minutes chat with you.
And I wanted to have 5 minutes chat with you. That is why I'm here. I won't deny that I intended to arm you just now.
Yes, it struck me that some idea of that sort had crossed your mind.
Oh, with reason, sir, with reason.
But why these personal attentions?
Because you have gone out of your way to annoy me, Holmes. Because you put your creatures on my track.
My creatures? I assure you, no.
Oh, I know that they come to report to you here. I've had them followed. Two can play at that game, Holmes.
It is a small point, Count Silvius, but perhaps you would kindly give me my prefix when you address me. You can understand that with my routine of work, I should find myself on familiar terms with half the rogues in London, and you will agree that exceptions are invidious. Huh?
Very well. Two can play at that game. Mr. Holmes.
Better. But I assure you, you're mistaken about my alleged agents.
Other people can observe, as well as you. Yesterday, there was an old sporting man. Today, it was an elderly lady. They held me in view all day.
Really, sir, you compliment me. Old Baron Dowson, before he was hanged at Newgate, was good enough to say that in my case, what the law had gained, the stage had lost. And now you come along with your kindly words. In the name of the elderly lady and of the sporting gentleman, I thank you. There was also an out-of-work plumber named Escott, who was an artistic dream you seem to have overlooked here.
You?
Your humble servant. If you doubt it, you can see the parasol upon the settee, which you so politely handed to me this morning, down in the middle.
Oh, if I had known, you might never
have seen this humble home again. I was well aware of it. We all have neglected opportunities to live more. But as it happens, you didn't know, and now here we are, quite chatty and comfortable.
What you say only makes matters worse. It was not your agents, but your play-acting, busybody self who have dogged me. Why have you done this?
You used to shoot lions in Algeria, I believe. Why?
Why? Oh, for the excitement, the danger, the satisfaction of freeing the country from a pest which devastates it and lives on the population.
My reasons in a nutshell.
Are you insolent?
Sit down, sir, sit down. There was another more practical reason.
Well?
I want that yellow crown diamond.
On my word.
You knew that I was after you for that. The real reason why you are here tonight is to find out how much I know about the matter and how far my removal is essential. Well, I should say that from your point of view, it is absolutely essential. For I know all about it, save only one thing which you are about to tell me.
I pray. What is that?
Where the diamond is.
Oh, how the devil should I know where it is?
You not only know, but you're about to tell me.
Oh, indeed.
You can't bluff me, Count Silvius. You're absolute plate glass. I see to the very back of your mind.
Oh, then, of course, you see where the diamond is.
Then you do know. You have admitted it.
I admit nothing.
Now, Count, if you'll be reasonable, we can do business together. If not, you may get hurt.
You talk of bluff.
Do you know what I keep in this book? You.
Me?
Every action of your vile and dangerous life.
Oh, damn you, Holmes. There are limits to my patience.
Oh, here. The real facts as to the death of old Mrs. Howell.
No, you are dreaming.
The complete life history of Miss Minnie Warrender of Laburnum Grove.
No, you'll make nothing of that.
And the story of young Arbuthnot, who drowned in the Regent's Canal just before his intended exposure of you for cheating at cards.
I never heard the boy.
But he died at a very seasonable time. A plenty more here, Count. What about the robbery in the train deluxe to the Riviera, February the 13th, 1892? How about the forged check on the Credit Lyonnais the same year?
No, you're wrong about that.
Then I'm right about the others.
If there was a word of truth in all this, would I have been a free man all these years?
I was not consulted. There were missing links in the police case. But I have a way of finding missing links. You may take it from me that I could do so.
More bluff.
You wish me to prove my words? Well, if I touch this bell, it means the police, and from that instant, the matter is out of my hands. You're a card player, Count. When the other fellow holds all the trumps, it saves time to throw down your hand.
What has all this to do with the jewel you speak of?
Gently, Count. Restrain that eager mind. Let me get to the point in my own humdrum way. I have a clear case against both you and your fighting bully, Sam Merton.
I doubt that.
I have the cabman who took you to Whitehall and the cabman who brought you away. I have the commissionaire who saw you beside the display case. I have Ikey Sanders who refused to cut the stone up for you. That's the hand I play for. I put it all upon the table.
But there's one card missing, Mr. Holmes. You don't know where the King of Diamonds is, and you shall never know.
No? Now consider. You're going to be locked up for 20 years. So is Sam Merton. What good are you going to get out of your diamond? None in the world. But if you tell me where it is... Well, if I compound a felony, it went for the first time. We don't want you or Sam. We want the stone. Give that up, and as far as I'm concerned, you can go free so long as you behave yourself in the future. Make an extra sip, thank God help you. But this time, my commission is to get the stone, not you.
But if I refuse?
Then, alas, it must be you and not the stone. I think, Count, that it would be as well to have your friend Sam at this conference, don't you? After all, his interests should be represented.
Yes, Mr. Holmes?
Mrs. Hudson, you'll see a large and very ugly gentleman outside the front door. Ask him to come up, will you?
Suppose he won't come, sir.
No violence, Mrs. Hudson. Don't be rough with him. If you tell him Count Silvius wants him, he'll certainly come.
Yes, sir.
What's the meaning of this?
My friend Watson was with me just now. I told him that I had a shark and a gudgeon in my net. Now I'm drawing the net and up they come together.
You won't die in your bed, Holmes.
Do you know, I have often had the same idea. But does it matter so very much? After all, Count, your own finish is more likely to be perpendicular than horizontal. But these anticipations are morbid. Let us give ourselves up to the unrestrained enjoyment of the present. No good fingering your revolver, my friend. You know perfectly well that you daren't use it, even if I gave you time to draw it. Nasty, noisy things. Better stick to air guns. Ah, I think I hear the fairy footsteps of your estimable partner. Good day, Mr. Merton. Rather damp in the street, is it not?
What's the game, Count? What's this fella want? What's up?
If I may put it in a nutshell, Mr. Merton, I should say it is all up.
Is this cove trying to be funny or what? I'm not in a funny mood myself.
No, I expect not. I think I can promise you that you'll feel even less humorous as the evening advances. Now look here, Count Silvius. I'm a busy man and I can't waste time. You can explain to your friend how the matter lies without the restraint of my presence. I shall go to my bedroom and try over the Hoffman Barcarolle upon my violin. Pray, make yourselves entirely at home in my absence. In 5 minutes I shall return for your final answer. You quite grasp the alternative, don't you? Shall we take you, or shall we have the stone?
He knows about the stone.
He knows a damn sight too much about it. I'm not sure that he doesn't know all about it. Ikey Sanders has split on us.
I'll do him down a thick one for that if I swing for it.
That won't help us. We've got to make up our minds what to do.
Oh, for now. This only's a leery cove that wants watching. Suppose he's listening right now.
Oh, how can he hear us over this?
Oh, I suppose. Hang on. There's someone behind that curtain. It's him again.
What a dummy, you half-wit. Look.
Well, strike me. Madam Tussauds ain't in it. It's the living spear of him, gown and all.
Oh, confound the dummy, Sam. You're wasting time. There's none too much.
He's alone in there, Count. We could just do him in.
Don't you think I already tried that, you fool?
What happened?
Why, never mind what happened. Just take my word for it. He's probably armed and ready.
I'll have a quick look. What's going on now? What's that into the light?
It's just some childish tomfoolery of this fellow. Oh, that's better. Must have been some sort of alarm system. See, the Edison light comes back on when the bell starts ringing. Now look, There's no time to lose. Holmes can lag us for the diamond.
The juicy can.
But he'll let us slip if we tell him where it is.
What? Give up 100,000?
Right, one or the other, he says.
Now look here, Governor. You've got the brains. Surely you can think of a way out of it. Slugging him's no use and it's up to you.
Don't panic, Sam. I've fooled better men than he. The stone is right here, in my secret pocket.
Of carrying it about like that.
Where could I have it safer? If we could take it out of Whitehall, someone else could surely take it out of my lodging. It can be out of England tonight, cut into 4 pieces in Amsterdam before Saturday. Holmes knows nothing of Van Sedder, you see.
I thought Van Sedder was to wait till next week.
He was. Get the next boat. I need you to slip round with the stone to the Excelsior and tell him.
But the false bottom ain't in the hat box yet.
Well, he must take it as it is and chance it. We've run out of time. Oh, confound that whining music. It gets on my nerves. Well, as to Holmes, we can fool him easily enough. You see, the damned fool won't arrest us if he can get the stone. Well, we'll promise him the stone. We'll put him on the wrong track about it, and before he finds that it is the wrong track, it will be in Holland, and we out of the country.
That sounds good to me.
Well, you go on and tell the Dutchman to get a move on it. I'll see Holmes and fill him up with a bogus confession. I'll tell him that the stone is in Liverpool. And by the time he finds that it isn't in Liverpool, it'll be in quarters. And we are the blue water.
That's prime. Now, give me the diamond.
Very well. Remember, the Mazarine stone belongs to me. Do not attempt to grow a brain at this stage in your career.
What? Do you think I'm going to snatch it off you? See here, Count, I'm getting a bit tired of your ways.
No offence, Sam. We can't afford to quarrel. Come over to the window if you want to see its beauty properly. Now, hold it up to the light.
What's that with that blooming fiddle?
Fiddle be damned. It's a gramophone.
Wonderful invention. No violence, gentlemen, no violence, I beg of you. Consider the furniture. It must be very clear to you that your position is an impossible one. The police are waiting below.
You were a dummy a minute ago.
One obvious device, Sam, but effective all the same. Lights off for a moment and... Oh, the rest is common sense.
Well, it gave me a chance of listening to your racy conversation, which would have been painfully constrained by your knowledge of my presence.
We give you best, Holmes. I believe you are the devil himself.
Not far from him, at any rate. And now, Count, if you would be so kind as to hand over the Mazarine stone.
Don't know how the blazes I'm going to write this one up for the Strand magazine.
I fail to see any difficulty, Watson. The matter seems fairly clear-cut.
Yes, but I was absent for most of it. Don't you see? It'll break up the flow of the piece horribly.
Flow? You're babbling, old fellow.
Oh, what's the use? You have the most vulgar ideas about art. I could always write it in the third person, I suppose.
Come in.
Lord Candlemere, Mr. Holmes.
Show him up, Mrs. Hudson. This is the eminent peer who represents the very highest interests, Watson. An excellent and loyal fellow, but rather of the old regime. Shall we make him unbend?
Unbend?
Dare we venture upon a slight liberty? He knows we may conjecture nothing of what has occurred.
Holmes, I don't think that's a very good idea.
Mr. Holmes? How do you do, Lord Candlemere? It's chilly for the time of year, but rather warm indoors. May I take your overcoat?
No, I thank you. I will not take it off.
Oh, but I insist. My friend Dr. Watson would assure you that these changes of temperature are most insidious.
Holmes?
Unhand me, sir. I tell you, I am quite comfortable. I have no need to stay. I have simply looked in to know how your self-appointed task was progressing.
It is difficult, very difficult.
Indeed. I feared you would find it so. Every man finds his limitations, Mr. Holmes, but at least it cures us of the weakness of self-satisfaction.
I confess I have been much perplexed.
No doubt.
Especially upon one point. Possibly you could help me.
You apply for my advice rather late in the day, Mr. Holmes. I thought that you had your own all-sufficient methods. Still, I am ready to help you.
You see, Lord Candlemere, we can no doubt frame a case against the actual thieves.
When you have caught them.
Exactly. But the question is, how shall we proceed against the receiver?
Is this not rather premature?
It's as well to have our plans ready. Now, what would you regard as final evidence against the receiver?
The actual possession of the stone, obviously.
You would arrest him upon that?
Most undoubtedly.
In that case, my dear sir, I shall be under the painful necessity of advising your arrest.
What?
Oh dear.
You take a great liberty, Mr. Holmes. In 50 years of official life, I cannot recall such a case. I'm a busy man, sir, engaged upon important affairs, and I have no time or taste for foolish jokes. I may tell you frankly, sir, that I have never been a believer in your powers, and that I have always been of the opinion that the matter was far safer in the hands of the regular police force. Your conduct confirms all my conclusions. I have the honour, sir, to wish you a good evening.
One moment. To actually go off with the Mazarin stone would be a more serious offence than to be found in temporary possession of it.
Sir, this is intolerable. Let me pass.
Put your hand in the right-hand pocket of your overcoat.
What do you mean, sir?
Come, come, do what I ask.
What? How is this, Mr. Holmes?
It really was too bad of me, Lord Councilman.
I'm afraid Mr. Holmes has a rather impish habit of practical joking. Also, he can never resist a dramatic situation.
I took the liberty, the very great liberty, I admit, of putting the stone into your pocket at the beginning of our interview.
Sir, I am bewildered. But yes, it is indeed the Mazarin stone. We are greatly your debtors, Mr. Holmes. Your sense of humour may, as Dr. Watson says, be somewhat perverted, and its exhibition remarkably untimely. But I withdraw any reflection I have made upon your amazing professional powers. But how?
The case is but half finished. The details can wait. No doubt, Lord Cantlemere, your pleasure in telling of this successful result and the exalted circle to which you return will be some small atonement for my practical joke. Oh, on your way out, please be so